Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Some of the words that God is speaking over you in the glory zone, which goes from Mississippi to Destin, and I'm sure, I believe it's expanded east because of some things that happened, but don't have time to go into that. That God has good plans in store, and there's a reason why your economy is changing. There's a reason why God is turning things around. There's a reason why, you know, men and women in government are standing up for God, and you're just seeing there's a reason. Because God is beginning to prepare the Gulf Coast for a major, major outpouring. And so get ready. And I think it's going to be the greatest harvest the earth has ever seen. I believe there's people that he's been prepared across the Gulf Coast and the nations, you know, for this. And out of this, defined by Southern Florida, right? They defined it, their political leaders defined it as that part of Florida and the Gulf Coast, they're like conservative. They like have these godly values and stuff. We're not like that. Can we divide our state? And they voted to separate themselves to have a South Florida, North Florida. Guess what? That was like a line of demarcation that really brought a greater blessing to the panhandle. And so we're excited about what God is doing. Be encouraged. We want to just keep the conversation light, give you a light perspective. There's so many things happening right now inside of America that you need to have a light perspective of it. I mean, you really do need to have a light perspective of it because it's dark, the things that are happening, but it's not minor if all you hear and all you see is dark. Jesus said it this way. Well, actually, John was writing about it. He said, the light came into the world and it shined in darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it. Mm-hmm. It couldn't understand it. Well, you know, as believers, you know, we are children of the light, so we should be able to understand it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so with that, in this conversation that we have, joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Going good.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Down to the quarterback for your opponent team in Florida, I was in town signing autographs the other day.
My opponent?
Yeah, you know, the Seminoles.
Speaking of the Seminoles.
One that's winning?
The Criminals?
The one that's winning?
Wow. Thank you.
You haven't heard that one before?
No, we don't.
Let's move on.
We're not going to talk about the New Orleans Saints and breaking knees or anything
exactly.
like that. Anyway, so, but we're going to be speaking today about a couple of things. One is, you know, we're excited about Kamal Saleem that is coming to VFN TV.
Yes.
Hopefully next week. We're looking forward. And it's just a powerful, powerful conversion to God. I mean, this is my heart's desire. And God's just really, you know, given me a heart, beginning to give me his heart, I believe, for, you know, different nations. But when you talk about particular people in different parts of the country, do you talk about them under this religion that's trying to speak over them? Or do you speak about them as human beings? Creating the image and likeness of God, who God loves. And if they're walking around in darkness, they don't even understand this yet. Mm-hmm. And that God wants us to go to them and tell them about the love of God. Or do you go, oh, them, and you just give it some religious title? If we keep doing that, we're feeding into the paradigm. We've got to have a love for mankind. And I'm excited about it because Kamal, he is just filled with the love of God.
Yeah.
But the thing about Kamal is he first came to America with an intention to destroy America. He was an Islamic terrorist who was coming for the purpose of integrating into America and bringing destruction to America, especially the church. And guess what? Guess what? When he got in a car accident, it was Christians that took care of him and loved him and met his need that broke all of his paradigms. And he found out that what he was told was not true. So he cries out to God. This is who's going to be going on next week. He cries out to God and he says, you know, talk to me, God, because it is nothing like all this religion said it was. You're different. You know, he cried out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And guess what? God answered him, and he met Jesus Christ, and he made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. And today, he is standing up. He's standing up for mankind, and he's standing up for the church, and he's just standing up for the Lord. He's just a very humble man, mm-hmm. loves the Lord, but he's going to be talking about it. There's reportedly over 450,000 radical Islamic terrorists that have already come into our country. And their primary target is not just America, but the church. And so we got to wake up. I mean, some of the things that we're seeing now, we're seeing that what God is saying is a day of reckoning is coming in regards to, you know, you're on this mountain here and you have this prophet talking to you. It's like, you're going to have to make up your mind. Who is your allegiance to? It's not to anything but you. Is it to Baal? Is it to Jezebel's gods? Or is it to God? And then all of a sudden that decision that Elijah brought God's people to, I mean, he brought them that decision. And he said the God that answers by fire is God. Mm-hmm. And so we're about to see a response, I believe. And I wouldn't say it's fire, but it's going to feel like it, what's happening. And the Lord is showing them. He's showing some of those that are connected and related, our partners, and they're connected to VFN TV and VFN, that literally, you know, God's going to allow this come up to your door of your life, to you, to your existence, and just, you know, make it this. And the sad thing about it is, I'm sorry for whatever somebody taught you, that you didn't have to have an allegiance to Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for that. And you have to. That's he's a king, you know, and we're in his kingdom. He says, unless you pick up your cross and follow me and deny yourself, you can have no part of me. You think about this, that we've got to adjust ourselves. And this thing is happening. This is a storm being fashioned, as we prophesied about. And you can see all these prophecies on, you know, the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But he's allowing it, not doing it. He's allowing it because our hearts have turned away from him. But his goal is to us to go, oh, I am so glad what Greg told me. That's exactly what somebody told me. They told me that I could actually, my money, I could be have allegiance to my money and my job and my things and my relationship and myself. And God's okay with that because I said a prayer. And he's told me that that don't count. The rich young ruler proved that out. He walked away from God. He chose those things and stuff and money over Jesus, over God, over his call. He literally walked away from Jesus. So I just want to encourage you. So this is a great warning, you know, Ezekiel 33 warning that lets us know, you know what? This thing can be stopped. This can be stopped. If we just say, I'm a little hard-headed, you know, my neck's a little stiff, but I'm getting it. I'm getting it. You know, that all of the stuff that's being said is really because my heart needs to get right with God. And think about it. This is a loving, I mean, there's nobody more perfectly loving than love himself, God. All he wants us to do is come to that reality and just go, I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. And you need to find out what is right, because you just can't say I'm sorry for what. You know, you can't repent to somebody, you know, just some, you know, miscellaneous repentance that doesn't release anything. But when you find out what God says in his word, and you realize, like Josiah did, he ripped his clothes when he read the Bible, and he goes, God's angry with us. Like, did he get angry with us the moment I read it? Or did Josiah realize God was angry? And that's what happens. You just realize, oh, that's why this craziness is going on right now. That's why it's going on.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be. When I looked in the mirror, I saw that my issue was me. That's so good. You know, some people go, I just can't handle that. But think about that. That's empowering, because when you blame everybody else for your condition, you know, blame stands for but look at my excuse. You surrender your destiny. They have to do something before you can do what's right in your own mind. Not true, but that you're locked into that belief. But when you realize that you have the power and the authority to be able to make decisions and change the destiny of your life by making the correct decisions, I mean, you are in a place of leadership of your life that you can just lay it down. You can say, you know what? I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what my family says. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what politicians say. I don't care what this country says. I don't even care what the Constitution says. I don't care what other nations say. I don't care what the United Nations says. As for me, I'm going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to be his disciple. The rest of my life, whatever's left of it, is going to be used for his glory. Here I am, God. I'm yours. That's it. But it's only when you own your own sin. And it's only when you find out what sin is. I mean, you don't know what it is. You won't know what it is from most of today's teaching. You know, does sin mean I didn't show up for the Sunday school? Is that what sin is? You know, right? What is sin? And know this, that God loves you and has a plan for your life. He really does. And I'm seeing just great things. I mean, great things. But imagine this. And we're going to talk about, you know, so this Ferguson situation today. You know, what is a grand jury and what does that mean in the Constitution? We'll be talking about that today and some other things as well. But I mean, you know, from a kid's standpoint, when the father's looking at the kid and the kid has done something, didn't listen, and the father knows, I'm going to have to bring discipline upon this kid. You know, whether, you know, if you're the stand in the corner parent or if you're like, you know, straighten up parent, depending on what kind of parent you are. That kid's not hearing you when you're going like, you know, they know this discipline's coming. You're going like, you know, I just see great things in you. You know, I see this is just a season of your life and you're going to get past this, you know, and I mean, you just got leadership inside of you. And I know the Lord's given me visions about you and dreams, and I could just see, you know, how successful you are. All that kid is hearing is like, my butt's in trouble. I mean, they just can't hear it. But it doesn't mean this is not true. But what we can do, if we get a vision beyond what we're about to go through, I mean, and by the way, being humbled, that's actually a promotion. Because pride comes before a fall, but humility is the greatest place that we can ever be in. The definition of humility is not being a doormat. It could be the most boldest person around, but humility is total dependency on God and respect for folks. You respect folks. You don't put your, you don't lord over folks and that type of thing. And so it's like, wow, you know, we can do something with this. And even though America might be like that young son or that young daughter, not really realizing that it's only 5 minutes in the corner, I know it's the end of your life, or it's only 2 weeks restriction from, you know, from, you know, things that make your flesh happy, but you'll make it through this. Keep that vision. We have a vision for America. Imagine this. Imagine this. Just imagine with me for a moment before we go to break. Imagine if the Christian America has not even happened yet. Imagine if this has all been dress rehearsal for how to be a Christian nation. Imagine if, I mean, look at other nations that never were Christian nations that became Christian nations because their leaders began. Imagine if everything that we've done so far with all of our mistakes, warts, you know, that was us learning how to be a Christian nation. Imagine if what's ahead of us, when people look at us, they go, that true. I mean, they do say it now. They go, this is a Christian nation, but you walk around looking like, I'm just trying to find some fruit. But if you go to other countries and go, this is a Muslim nation, they would say. You know, predominantly, you're looking at the Muslims have taken over the leadership. They have caliphates going on, different things happening, and that's a Muslim nation. Who said we can't be a Christian nation? Who said that we can't begin to trust God and say, you know what? He told us to make disciples of the nations. Who said that we can't get involved in every aspect of culture and begin to just bring the light and the love of God into these areas and watch God's kingdom come here on earth? Who said that our destiny's over, that God can't do something with us? Have you read the Bible lately? You know, what happens even, and God is filled with mercy and grace, but we have to believe that he's good. We have to believe that he has plans, and we can't be arrogant and think we can continue walking in that which brought about the storm and thinking that things are going to change. They're going to change because we humble ourselves, we repent, we make him the Lord of our life, and he is the King. King of kings and Lord of lords. I just want to make a report even now as we're speaking to our audience that we need to cry out to God. We need to pray for the Senate and the Congress to respond without compromise to our president's immigration executive actions. We pray that there would be an outcry from American citizens that this is heard in the White House, that our voice must be heard in Jesus' mighty name. And I just want to just, you know, we've got to speak that out because right now, you know, what's taking place is we talked about. You got to hear our earlier programs about what's the stages being set. The stages being set. Boy, it's like a red mouse. Is that so funny? The stages being set for what we talked about in each of these things. And one of those things that's been set up is this huge immigration aspect of it. And they're focusing on these beautiful women and children and reasonable things, but they're not focusing on the alleged 450,000 radical Islamists that came into our country, reportedly, according to Kamal Saleem, that once you start giving citizenship, it's not this little child. It's the others who came along.
Right.
You know, in the context of that. And it's always like, take this little small step, don't worry about it. And so the next step is always going to be. But the big thing, we got to cry out to God. Dear God, we just ask you right now that you would speak to our senators, our congressmen in their sleeps, and our president in the dream. Father God, that you would just stir them even now and just tell them, Lord, your plans for this nation, and not to fall to these Alinsky tactics, that they would just be bold, be strong, and be willing to be targeted, you know, for a good cause. We just ask that in Jesus' name. So, listen, it is amazing what has taken place. And speaking of Saleem, I just want to see, this is where they're praying over him. And this is what I feel, too, that they're praying over him at Rick Joyner at Morning Stars in regards to, and we need to see this. You have to understand. I think because, in my own opinion, since missionaries quit leaving America, since the church quit giving to the kingdom of God, according to George Barna, only 97% even 97% don't even give God his tithes and offerings. Only 3% actually do. Then God's going to say, fine, I'm going to bring the people who I love to you, like Kamal Saleem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. And I really believe it. And so instead of panicking, I think it's time for us to stand up and believe that this radical Islamist who feels that he or she is giving their heart and their life for God, that once they find out that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life and that he'll forgive them, and that's the perception that he or she's been taught is totally different. And then God will show himself. I mean, Jesus will just show up and just say how much and speak directly to them, and they'll know who God is. As a matter of fact, take a look right this. I love this prophetic word spoken over Kamal Saleem right here. Watch, listen.
This is Kamal Saleem, and amen. I felt like we were all supposed to pray that the terrorists of today become the Pauls of tomorrow. And so why don't you all stand up and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we look at this man as the symbol of first fruits. That God, that there's passion and devotion and dedication, but it's not after knowledge. And we ask you that the passion and the devotion and dedication would be redeemed. And that men and women like this man Kamal Saleem, would be converted with a passion and a devotion and intensity, and that they would become the Pauls of our day. And Lord, we ask you that this man would be the first fruits of the Pauls of our day, that going into every area of nations that would resist the gospel, you would raise up 10,000s upon 10,000s of Kamal Saleems. Lord, we claim that today for the United States of America, for the Middle East, and for nations all over the earth. We believe you, God, for the redemption of this misdirected passion now to be claimed for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so looking forward, and it's not next week, it's going to be tomorrow. And make sure you catch us on CTN and WHBR. And understand that God's powerful. He's creator of the universe. And if anybody's, think about Paul. His name was Saul before it was Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was, and you can find out more about this in Organizers of the Night versus Organizers of the Day, but he was intensely under his impression with the support of other people who everybody thought they were working for God, and they were killing folks, imprisoning folks, and humiliating folks, and stealing people's stuff, and just all these things that Christians today go, I can't believe that would even happen. It's like, you know, 81% of Christians in America who regularly attend church or just, and I don't mean regularly attend church, but 81% don't even pick up their Bible at all. But if you read the Bible, that's exactly what happened. And if you read the whole Bible, you'll see where those God's people in the old covenant did some of the things that we're seeing happen today. That's why the good news about Jesus Christ is that we have been freed from the law. And so we can't just say us and them and all that. We got to say, you know what? Jesus is the answer. Because if you go back and you teach out of the old covenant, you're going to see where David, you know, he had so much blood on him that he could not even build the church. He couldn't even, not the church, but he couldn't even build the temple. God's like, ah, you know, you did a good job. You're after my heart, but I'm going to let your boy do it. Because he had it was such a bloody, you know, conquest to be able, and God was sending him out to conquest at that time under the old covenant, under the law. Nobody could actually fulfill the law. So understand that is part of our history. But in that whole prophetic story that you read from the time that men fell in the garden, Jesus said, God said this, he goes, but I'm going to redeem you. This is the reality of sin. This is the reality of I got to cover it up. You know, I can't even look at it just to be close to you. I mean, there has to be a, you know, sacrifice of animals and you know, bloodshed and all that kind of stuff. I'm not just to come near you, but all of this is to show you that one day this Jesus, my son, is going to come and he is going to redeem you. And what was lost in the garden is going to be got back through my son, Jesus Christ. And so we don't live in that area of the old covenant, but we're not ignorant of that area in the old covenant, understanding that's what God delivered us from. So if you see people acting like they're moving in that kind of sphere, it's like we haven't preached the gospel to them yet. They don't know. The good news is that I understand, you know, your religious zealousness, but God gave his son. He took the beating. He took the crown of thorns. He was nailed to the cross, not for his own sins. He was sinless, but for your sins and my sins. So we don't beat someone to bring them to a place of repentance, nor do we allow ourselves to be beat for a place of repentance, that we just repent. We just repent, and nor do we revenge someone for who are physically, because it's totally not about that anymore. Jesus came and set us free. He fulfilled the law. So we got to be real. We got to be honest. Hey, you know what? You know, that's what's so awesome about the gospel and the covenant that God, the new covenant with the blood of Jesus that's been poured on the mercy seat. So I just want to encourage you that you can get empathy, and then you can look. You can look at this certain man or woman and look at them and go, if I just could get to them, and tell them how much God loves them and that all the stuff, Saul, that you're doing, that is for naught. But if you'll just get on your donkey and start headed to Damascus, we'll be praying that you will encounter the Son the way that Kamal did, the way that Saul did. And all of a sudden, instead of an organizer of the night, you become an organizer under the organizer of the day, Jesus Christ. Tomorrow on Christian Television Network, or VFN TV, is going to be Kamal Saleem, and he's going to be talking. We've got some great questions that we're going to ask him. But about, he speaks here about 450,000, over 450,000 radical Islamists have already come into America over the borders. And as a matter of fact, take a look at this right now.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists crossed into the United States of America. 2010. And the numbers are escalating. And what happened, the reason why they know those numbers and they report them, because they could not deport them back because Canada or Mexico would not take them back, so America is stuck with them. And America would not send anyone to jail, so what they have to do is give them a court date. And because we have no place and no money to spend on them, so they release them back into society, and they disappear. And so what happened is, today, America is in grave dangers. And why? Because they want to hurt the United States of America, specifically the church.
And you would think, you know, why in the world would anybody have anything against the church? I mean, look at all the good the church is doing. I mean, they're the ones that are feeding the poor. They're the ones that are loving folks. I mean, you look at homeless, you know, you look into soup kitchens and you're looking at I don't know, Israel? I mean, think about it. It's JJ. Yeah. It's totally demonic. It's not the fact that it's the good the church is doing. It's the good that Israel's doing. It's the God that they represent, that the church represents, that Israel represents, that Satan hates. And so those that are held captive by him wants to damage, hurt, harm, eliminate. anybody who stands up for God. Shucker. And it's JJ. You know, ever how goes the Jews and Jesus, Jesus representing the church, the body of Christ. And so you're looking at, that's their intended harm. That alone should cause you to open your doors up to truth and open your pulpit up to truth. And I'm telling you, you know, and it's not my place, and I'm not rebuking anybody or anything like that, but I'm just saying, you know, open up about what God is saying so that all of a sudden, you know, your flock won't be shocked and they won't know what to do. They're unprepared. And you may not know what to do, but I want to encourage you, you know, God spoke specifically, you know, to me and others about what he was doing. And he showed me, you know, that this is what's going to be happening. And then he confirmed it by it actually happening. I had a pastor come to my office with his podium. With his podium now, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Is this not?
This happened.
This happened. I mean, God told me because this is why. Because pastors who love God have gotten off track and they've just gotten this rut of maybe you're trying to please everybody instead of please God. You know, maybe you're trying to keep your job. You got a few more years left and you got this 401k hovering out here or something. I don't know what it is. Maybe you got into it because people got into you instead of getting into God. I don't know. But all of a sudden, you're nothing like you were in the beginning. I mean, you're on fire. You're like a firebrand, you know what I'm saying? You were like a fire, not a mean, but you were just a firebrand for God. Like, set me up and let people watch me burn, you know, all that kind of stuff for God. And then, you know, look what happened. You got to have programs. You got to have all these different things to entertain folks. You can't sing that song because it makes her upset, and you can't do this. It's like, you're not even leading anymore. Everybody else is leading you. And God showed me this. I know this just seems kind of freaky, but it's just a dream. It's just a dream. But remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So when you think about this, don't think about this as people, because God loves people. God loves all the people. He loves all the pastors and all the parishioners and all of us. He loves us. The devil hates us. Mm-hmm. The devil has plans to destroy us, to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, it's a spiritual attack that manifests physically through folks that are held captive to do his will, but God loves the person who's held captive. So this is not against any person.
Right.
But he showed me specifically, he showed me this church gathering inside of this big building with a podium that normally, you know, ministers minister behind. It's normal stuff. But as he would speak, dark images would just shoot out from the podium. It would go into the audience and then it would come right back to the podium. And as he would speak again, it was just kind of, and it was like, it wasn't coming from him in this dream, but it was coming from that podium, what it represented, you know, boosh, boosh, boosh. And I'm like, and all these people, and it was a large amount of people, were there because if you asked them, they would say, I'm here, you know, for Jesus. I'm here for the church, you know, to hear what's preached. And so they were subject to what was coming from the pulpit, from the podium. And so things that are being loosed from that podium were darkness. It wasn't light. It wasn't what God was saying. It was what, I don't know what it was. I know it wasn't good.
Mm.
And so then the Lord began to just show me that how upset he was with what we as ministers were saying behind our pulpits. What are we saying? Are we taking this moment, this opportunity, and just saying whatever? Are we seeking God in the fear of the Lord, preaching like it's the last opportunity we'll have, that we might not have tomorrow, and we're not planning on point two tomorrow, so we're going to give it all we have today? Or are we just going, you know, I got the rest of my life, I'll just kind of whatever, you know, we'll get through this. And he showed me that what he was upset with what was being talked to his people, because quite often the church, we're in a predicament because of what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, even Saul Alinsky knew this. If you push a negative long enough, it becomes a positive and people accept it as truth. If you preach the wrong gospel long enough, people just naturally begin to accept that as the truth. But then you got to get in the Word to find out what the truth is. That's how America, by the way, came to pass, and finding out, because they wanted to find a place that they could worship God freely. And so in this, he showed me, you know, if I named these national, and we were speaking across the nation here, so mm-hmm. it's not anybody, any region. They show me, you know, very popular. I love people. I just love to hear talk. Or what came to me was asking me, how do I do this thing? Because this, you have to understand that how church is being done predominantly right now, without koinonia, without family, without connection, without, it's just not going to be able to survive what's about to come. It's just not going to be able to survive. You're going to have to actually know this brother beside you. Mm-hmm. And you can only know so many people. You know, I thought you loved me. I was in your database, right? But I mean, you really got to know it. You really right. You don't know them because they're in your phone or you liked them in their Facebook. You know them because you live your life together. You're going to need that brother. You're going to need that sister. You can't fake this. And you have to be willing to lay down your life for each other. Mm-hmm. Very well may have to. And when God speaks, you know, you just move as a unit, you know, the Psalms 133 unit. And so he shows me this particular, we would call it mega, but pastor, you know, and this is a pastor out of Texas. And he's coming to me and he's like, you know, asking me, you know, how do you do this thing? Because there is another way to do it that is okay. And it's apostolic and it's biblical and it's uncompromising. But there is another way to do it. And I'm looking at him going like, no. Because you're thinking, like, we won't. And he was like, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. I need to know how to do this. The thing about it, what you think you have to contain in a building, you don't have to contain it in a building. It's contained and held together by love. If you choose to leave the organized effort that holds and forces people to stay together, and choose to love people and love God, that will hold millions together. I mean, ask the church in China. You have a farmer with a cell phone in his pocket that has a million people that he's responsible for in his church. And so love versus structure can hold them together. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can meet in the biggest building or whatever, but it's going to be love that holds things together. If not, people are just going to scatter. Let me tell you what this pastor did when we get back from the break. You won't believe what he did and to confirm this word. So here I am, I'm preparing. I'm going to be speaking the next day at the Dream Center, and our leaders had already met. I believe we already discussed it. No, they hadn't met yet. I mean, the leaders hadn't come. We don't have an annual meeting where everybody comes in from around the nation. And so the doorbell rings, you know, and so I go to the door, and this particular minister brought his podium on the property line. He didn't even bring it onto my property. Brought it on the property line and parked it there and came and talked to me. He says, I just wanted to ask you, you know, do you want this podium? I mean, God just gave me this dream. I'm like, no, I don't want the podium. And of course, podiums aren't evil. I'm not saying that, but this is like of all the things that you could do. And then I begin to tell him the dream and tell him what God said. And he's just like, man, God's all over me, man, the hair on my neck. And God just showed up, this powerful presence of God, you know? And then he's like, yeah, you can have it. I said, let me tell you, if you're going to give it to me, this is what I'm going to do with it. And I wasn't going to use it, but we were going to do something to it, just, you know, as an act of response to what God's saying, repentance, you know? And the other aspect of this dream that God showed was God was so angry. You know, Pat and I had a chance at the launch of one of our CTN. We're sitting there in a boardroom, and this intense prophet is speaking to us, and he showed a pyramid, and on top of this pyramid, you know, he had the podium on top of it, and God took this pyramid in his hand with the pyramid on the top, and he took it and he just shoved it all the way down the ground where the pyramid's flat. That's how angry God was, what was being spoken up behind podiums. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, it was just intense. And the podium that he brings me has the pyramid up, and it has the pyramid down. It literally had both of those on the front of the sure thing. Did. And if you don't know this or not, the church, we're in the condition that we're in because of what we've been taught or what we haven't been taught. You know, God chose from the foolishness of what is preached to be able to save mankind, which means if we don't preach the right thing, the wrong things are going to happen. We've got to, you know, we got to have a, a sound doctrine. We got to preach the word, not the latest concept. We have no choice. We're going to be held accountable. And God says a lot more about false pastors than he does about false prophets. But you have more false pastors talking about false prophets. Like, all of us are going to be held accountable. And so God does this. And so he brings it. He literally brings it all the way on a dolly. It was huge. I mean, it was big. I mean, you could actually have a whole meeting behind board meeting behind this. It wasn't massive. And he was willing to just throw it away, because pretty much what we were going to do is, you know, in a way, kind of throw it away. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to use it. Mm. And he brings it in and he begins to say, we don't have the video for you. We play it. But he stands right beside it and begins to talk about, you know what? I stood by, this might be you right now. You might be this pastor. This is what he said. I stood behind that thing and I talked to people who would not do anything I said, and everything I told them, they wouldn't listen, you know, and every approach that I was taking wouldn't even work. And I quit again and again and again. And finally I just said, you know what? That is not the right way to do this thing. This is what he's saying. I'm paraphrasing what he said. And what he did was he went and got a job in a large industry, and he says, I'm actually ministering and preaching to people more in business who want to hear what God has to say than the few folks that was there. This is constant battle and tug of what's going on, and it just, nobody was going to listen to what he was saying. And he said, the things that I said behind there were wrong. I mean, he started just acknowledging that kind of stuff, and it's like, whoa, this is good, because all we have to do is repent. Because I thought this would be great. We'll just have everybody just bring your podiums, pile them up, we'll just burn all of our podiums and stuff. And nothing's wrong with the podium, but Tommy Tenney writes about this in the book God Chasers. Mm-hmm. Got to read that book. Wow. Mm. And they're at church, in a church gathering, and you know, all of a sudden just God shows up. He interrupts things, because church is about God. Not about the building. I mean, when you gather in his name, there he is in the midst of us, and he might want to do something. And he did. He showed up in such power, people just began to weep. And nobody's, you know, this build up thing. All of a sudden, just God's presence was so strong that people began to cry. They went to the ground, their knees began to pray. And just, you know, just what you do in the presence of God. Ooh. It's beautiful. It's convicting, something, you know, depending where you are. I mean, it's awe struck. That's what happens. You're just like, it's okay. He can take over everything. But this pastor, because I mean, if you've ever been a pastor, you understand the show must go on. They sometimes they're like, it's time to do this. It's time to do that. You got people in the back like, do this, do that, with their arms crossed in the back. You know, like, what are you doing? You got decibel meters going on, right? Like, that's a little too loud. Anyway, right. So nothing against louder when it sounds, you know, ears do hurt. And so, and so this pastor, in the midst, why God is moving. I mean, what else can you do? I mean, it's happening. That's what you wanted all along, was so-and-so to repent and everybody to humble themselves and to hug and love and to cry. I mean, that was the goal. I mean, it's done. God just helped you out, right? Mm-hmm. Just go like, it's God, you know? And that's what I've been talking about. If you have been. If not, you got to get down and repent too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is what he does. He comes up. God's moving. People are climbing over pews and prying and repenting, and Tommy's in there somewhere, and this pastor, not Tommy, but this pastor comes up, and he comes behind the podium, and he's going to start talking. Think about it. The creator of the universe, God is present. I mean, you're like, it's just like if you look in the tent of meetings, like you're in the holy of holies, and you're going to say something. I mean, think about it. You know, Francis Chan writes in his book, Crazy Love, who do I think I am, right? And so he stands behind this podium. This should put the fear of God in you. I hope it does. It puts the fear of God in me. It should put the fear of God in all of us, because God's real. This God you preach about, he is real. He is holy. He loves you. You know, but we got to preach truth in love. And so this pastor comes up and he starts to talk about, you know, the next thing. And all of a sudden, the presence of God, almost like an angel appeared, but they don't want the angel to appear, but the presence of God took this pastor and threw him back against the wall behind the podium, and the podium split right in half. Mm-hmm. What do you think God's saying? But think about it. He's getting a message to us. I mean, he loves the pastor that got thrown to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the people that he showed up. He loves Tommy Tenney. But what is he saying to us? Does he have to split every single podium in America for us to understand? It matters what we say in the name of God. It matters what we're saying, what he says. It matters that we cannot turn away from what he says. Even when I talk about the things of God, I realize that I've had to repent my way all the way to this message because he's holy, he's right. And I have to align my life with him and his word. He doesn't align, nor, and I'm only deceiving myself if I think that he's going to align his life with me. It's time for us to say, dear God, we want this glory, your glory poured out, and we will begin to speak your truth behind our pulpits and our podiums. And guess what? God will be behind you. He'll back you up. And when he moves, just say, this is God. He's here. Go in, and the presence of God can do in 1 minute what 10,000 messages couldn't do. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.